are back. You're listening to You Would Think, the Philadelphia Flyers podcast. I'm your host, Kyle Collington. It's a very special episode today. If you're watching our video over at YouTube, by the way, you can search You Would Think on YouTube because we're putting up audio video episodes now. But if you're watching that video episode, you might notice that I am not joined by Mike Sr. I am not joined by Kevin Durso. I am instead joined by YouTube, G? H-list celebrity?
L? Okay, no, L, but you know, we're there, you know.
Thrash94 Gaming, if you don't know who he is. Thrash, how are you today? Welcome to the show.
I'm great, man. Thanks for having me. How are things?
Good, man. We had you here because you are, as evidenced by your background, a massive Detroit Red Wings fan.
Yes.
And we have brought you on to discuss our bracket over on Twitter at YWT Podcast, discussing the greatest NHL teams of all time. That bracket will start on Thursday, the day after the show is being recorded, probably the day it goes out. So it should be live when you're hearing this at YWT Podcast. Don't forget to find the show on Facebook, Instagram, Podbean, iTunes, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Sports Talk Philly. We're all over the place. You guys know the deal. Listen, don't make fun of me. You do your plugs too.
Absolutely.
But either way, we brought you on because, again, you're a Red Wings fan. I don't know anything about the Detroit Red Wings, really. I know they're terrible now.
Hey.
And I know the history, but some of these teams we have decided are the greatest teams of all time. And if you look at our bracket, we have four teams on this list. Chronologically, from most recent back, we have the 07-08 Detroit Red Wings, the 01-02 team, the 96-97 team, and then we go all the way back to the Gordie Howe era, 49-50.
Yeah.
We're going to touch on that team, but they're not a focus because I didn't watch them play. You didn't watch them play. Goalies didn't know how to play, and it's barely hockey. So before we dive into this, tell the people who you are, where they can find you, you know, why you're here, basically.
Well, what's going on, guys? My name is Thrash. Hi, I'm a massive TikTok star. Follow me on TikTok. No, okay. Anyways, I mean, Thrash.
You're more of a TikToker than a YouTuber, according to the views.
At this point, right now, views, yeah, TikTok's taking off for whatever reason, but you can't find me on TikTok, unfortunately. Instagram, Snapchat, Twitter, and Twitch. All at Thrash94 Gaming. Just all hockey-related stuff. And apparently Guitar Hero, just saying. I don't know why
I brought that up. Yeah, I heard about this. Something about Guitar Hero with a keyboard and...
Yeah, I tried to play Through the Fire and the Flames on my keyboard.
How'd it go?
About as well as the Red Wings season this year.
Okay, so that good. Okay. But you stream pretty much every day, most days?
I try to, yeah. I try to go live as much as possible.
And, at least a couple of days a week. Usually right around on time for new NHL 20 HUT content. Usually in the 4 to 5:30 range.
Yeah, I try and go live. We hang out, just rip packs and talk hockey pretty much all day. It's a lot of fun. Yeah.
And then, you know, you do some cool stuff on YouTube and people can definitely go check you out. And we'll make sure to include some links over there. But the big reason, again, we got you on, Detroit Red Wings, man. Let's talk about this 07-08 team. This is kind of the last gasp for the 25 years of playoffs. This is the final chapter. And they went out with a really, really good hockey team.
They did.
You know, you made the Stanley Cup Finals the next year, but this is kind of the last gasp. This is kind of the last real dominant powerhouse team.
Yeah.
29-year-old Pavel Datsyuk, 27-year-old Henrik Zetterberg, Nick Lidstrom at 37 years old, one last kick at the can here. You know, this team had some legends on it, man.
I'm trying to think. We were discussing earlier, Johan Franzen. He's 28 here, but how long was he in the league at this point?
He was fairly new in the league at that point. Yeah, Johan Franzen didn't pop up much before the lockout, the 04-05 lockout.
No, his first year was 05-06, so he was there for 2 years.
At 26 or 25, whatever it was? Wow.
Yeah, he joined the NHL at 25. That is absolutely insane to think somebody comes in at the age of 25 and tears it up like that in the playoffs.
How does this happen? Did he get drafted? Like, what?
He was drafted by the Wings and just never came over, it looks like.
Really? Huh.
Yeah, that is...
But it turns out the Red Wings always get their good Europeans. From point A to point B.
Yes, that is.
That's been their motto. That's a lot of people would say that's why the 25 years happened, right? Because the Wings were one of the first teams to start scouting the Soviet bloc.
Oh, 100%.
You know, and that,
five and
right, and that pays off, you know, as we see, even all the way through here, you still get guys like Datsuk on the end of it, and Franzen, and, you know, Zetterberg, even Val Filppula, and you know, a lot of European presence on that team. You know, you go a little further down, and you get a little bit of an older Dominik Hasek.
Yeah, but...
Man, 20-year-old Justin Abdelkader on this team.
Oh, Lord.
Hoo-wee.
He used to know how to skate.
He played in two games that year, so maybe he didn't know how to skate.
No, maybe not.
He played in fewer games than your boy Kyle Quincy.
I'm happy about that.
I know you love Kyle Quincy.
Yeah, here's the thing. No, I don't. He could have been Andre Vasilevsky, is what he could have been. And instead, it's Kyle freaking Quincy.
Listen, every team has a woulda, coulda, shoulda story when it comes to a draft pick or a trade or a blah, blah, blah. Listen, we've all been there.
But when it comes to Ken Holland, we have plenty of them.
Okay, listen. How many cups? I don't want to hear it.
Okay, yeah.
How many cups? Come on.
4 in 11 years?
4 in 11 years.
And then almost a fifth in 12?
Right. And I was rooting for the Wings there, as you can tell by the fact that I'm a Flyers fan.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
But either way, that Wings team was a lot of fun even the following year. But this team, this 07-08 team, 36-year-old Chris Draper, Andreas Lilja here, a 46-year-old Chris Chelios.
46. Holy.
46. I don't know if you listen to Spit and Chicklets, but when Chris Chelios was interviewed, he told a story about he played the Winter Classic that year.
He did play the Winter Classic.
Well,
no, wait. He
played because management told Mike Babcock that Chris Chelios was playing in the Winter Classic. And Mike Babcock said, okay, he'll play one shift. And
right.
Chris Chelios started the game and then sat at the end of the bench. So Chris Chelios... had his family there, right? Yep. His family was confused as to why their father wasn't playing, his sons in particular. Yep. And he said, well, they're not going to play me. Go get daddy a beer. And Chris Chelios was telling stories about drinking beers on the bench in the Winter Classic.
Oh, I love it. And like, I can totally see it.
And at 46 years old, he's probably about Babcock's age at that point.
Yeah.
It's pretty easy to tell Babcock where to go.
Yeah.
If you're Chris Chelios at the end of one of the most legendary careers of all time.
Oh, absolutely.
He wasn't the most legendary career defenseman on that team.
No.
But that's just because that team was insane.
I mean,
if you're the second biggest legendary defenseman on your team and number one is Nick Lidstrom, you kind of just have to go,
you've had a pretty game.
Okay.
Yeah.
Top 5 all time for sure.
Yeah, I could see it, yeah.
And Nick Lidstrom I'm talking about, not Chelios.
Oh, no. Chelios is amazing.
Chelios is probably top 20.
Yeah, I was going to say top 20, but Lidstrom, personally, as a biased Wings fan, I'm saying top 2.
Oh, okay. And number one.
Look.
If you tell me that you're putting a guy number 2, you absolutely know I have to ask who number 1 is.
It's going to be Bobby Orr. You got to.
Okay.
Look, it's Bobby Orr.
Okay.
I never got to see him play personally, but you only hear stories. You look at stats and you look at highlights, and it's Bobby Orr.
Yeah, for sure. And I think that has – maybe our next list is best defenseman of all time.
Okay, that's fair.
Because you know what? That could be a fun one. There's some really good names on that list.
Absolutely.
I think Paul Coffey has something to say about that.
Kyle Quincy's definitely not anywhere near that list.
Tim Heed is definitely there.
Oh, absolutely, 100%. If we're going by in-game, 100% the top defenseman, man.
I think Chris Pronger has a case.
Sure.
I think Scott Niedermayer has a case.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think Paul Coffey has a case.
I would agree with that, absolutely. I'm a big Paul Coffey fan.
You know what? I'm going to run this by the other you would think group after this, but I really think the next poll after Greatest Games might be Greatest Defenseman, because that's a lot of fun.
Sounds like it would be a lot of fun, for sure.
But speaking of teams that were a lot of fun.
Oh, boy.
Thrash, how much of that 0-1-0-2 team did you watch?
Every single game.
Okay, because that was a really good hockey team. I don't know if you're aware of this, but they had a lot of Hall of Famers.
Yes, they did.
Like, a lot.
I believe the number stands at 10, and that's not counting a young Pavel Datsyuk.
And that's not a complete list, right? Because you have Datsyuk.
And possibly Steve Duchesne could be in a Hall of Fame. Like, he played over 1,000 games, right?
I think there's a conversation there, yeah.
He could get in. There's other players who could get in as well. It's absolutely scary of how good of a team.
Stacked.
Yeah, it's scary. It is a hockey ultimate team before Hutt was ever a thing. What this is.
You know, 21-year-old Yuri Fisher.
Oh, God.
Is Sean Avery a Hall of Famer? Because I'd like to talk to you about the fact that Sean Avery was on this team.
He was on this team. We don't talk about him very much, but he was on the squad.
And it's one of those things, like, I can't really trash it because, A, it worked.
Yeah, absolutely.
B, you're coming off the heels of the heart of the Colorado Avalanche rivalry, so I don't blame you for getting an instigator.
Yep.
Sean Avery was a talented hockey player.
Oh, he was just a prick. Absolutely.
I'm curious, is he a Hall of Famer? If he's not, he might be at some point. If he's not there yet, he might be at some point. I don't know if
he is not a current Hall of Famer.
Do you think he has the numbers to get there? Maybe the impact.
He got a rule changed, man. He was in the league for 10 years?
Yeah, but you know, you'll see him waving his arms in front of Marty Brodeur for the rest of all time.
That clip alone might be Hall of Fame worthy.
That's what I'm saying. Reputation might get him in more than stats.
That's fair. Unfortunately, I'd have to say it, but that.
If they ever open popularity an influence contest. Wing, guys who change
he's
the
in
game,
there for sure.
He's
in. First one. Oh, yeah.
Him, Paul Bissonnette.
You can get a John Scott.
Right. John, you know, there's definitely some room here. But Sean Avery, I don't necessarily know if he's a Hall of Famer. But either way, very good player his entire career. I believe he was an all-star a couple times. Definitely a contributor. And at 21 years old, he played in 36 games for this team.
Yeah, I mean.
That's how deep this team was.
That's insane to think about. And like you look at even the defensemen. This might be one of the best defense cores that you'll ever see.
One of?
Yeah.
Man, it's up there.
If not the. Lidstrom, Chelios. Okay, there's your top two. Fine. Yep. But then you have Steve Duchesne, Uwe Krupp, Stanley Cup winner, by the way.
Played 8 games. Got to take Uwe Krupp off this list. He played 8 games.
Still on the squad. Don't care. He was still on the squad, and he was on the squad in the playoffs as well, which is important.
Yeah, definitely.
He was there. He didn't play much, but he was there.
Hey, he's in the room.
It's something. When you look at this team and you look at some of the names on it, like Sergei Fedorov, Steve Yzerman.
We haven't even gone into some of these names.
No. You look at them, they're like, oh, they were around for a while. But then you look at names like Luke Robitaille and Brett Hull, who were also on this team.
Yep.
It's absolutely insane to think about. And you had, 5 30 goal scorers on this squad?
This team, it might be a perfectly constructed team. Look at it. You got a couple of young stars. You got 23-year-old Datsyuk. You got 21-year-old Jason Williams, Yuri Fisher, Sean Avery. You got some youth on your team playing in games.
Yeah.
You got your core, right? You got 33-year-old Shanahan, 32-year-old Fedorov, Lidstrom's 31. Draper's 30, Holmstrom's 29, Malkin's 29, whole bunch of your teams in its core. And then you got a couple of aging vets. You got 37-year-old Brett Hull. You got 41-year-old Igor Larionov. You got 40-year-old Chelios.
Wow.
This team might be perfect.
Yeah, I would.
What does this team need? Because if you thought the answer was goaltending, I'm sorry. They had Dominic Hasek, who went 41-15-8 with a .915 save percentage that year. In an era when scoring was significantly higher than it is now.
Yep.
And a goals against of .217. What do they need? Like, what does this team need?
Copy and paste machine, man. They need to make this team over and over.
Well, and they did. And that's why the Detroit Red Wings won for 25 years, because they copy paste, because that signals us, that transitions us to the 96-97 team.
Which?
Because that team is almost as good. Shanahan's in the early part of his prime instead of the later part of his prime. Oh, no.
Right.
Yzerman's in his prime. Fedorov. they're all on the young end of their prime now. So they're all stacked to the brim. They just figured out how good they are, but they haven't quite gotten paid for it yet. So like, it worked out really well.
One thing I like to talk about when we talk about the older team like this, look at their point totals.
They're
not one player is like jumping out. It's everybody contributing.
Even if you look at 0102, we talked about this as maybe the greatest team of all time.
Yep.
Shanahan had 75 points. Fedorov and Hull are the only other ones to go over 60.
Yep.
Everybody else. But if you go all the way down, they had 14 players with 20 or more points.
Yeah. It's that's a perfectly how you rounded team.
That's how you become one of the greatest teams of all time. That's how you make it into our bracket. Twitter at YWT Podcast, by the way. That's how you make it onto our bracket. That's how you make it into this discussion, is you have a team with a billion Hall of Famers and they all score evenly.
Yep.
But
essentially.
Right. And we talk about this 96-97 roster, and it's a lot of the same roster from 0102.
It is, yeah.
But then they were all young and hungry because they hadn't won a title as a group yet.
Now the question is, we talked about the 0102 team and maybe one of the best defense cores. I would argue that this defense core is actually better than that.
Lidstrom, Konstantinov, Fedosov, Bob Rouse, Jamie Murphy. Pusher. Yeah, you do get 35-year-old Larry Murphy down here, don't you? Yeah, you do.
I mean, it's...
I don't necessarily know if you can take full credit for getting the real Larry Murphy, but you had him on the squad, you had him in the room, you had his knowledge, his expertise, his experience.
That's something that Detroit was very keen on, too, having older players to teach the young guys. That's something that they've done and they continue to do.
Yep, we talked about it with this 07-08 team. You got guys who are a little older, right? You got 34-year-old Brian Rafalski. You got 35-year-old Thomas Holmstrom.
46-year-old Chelios.
36-year-old Draper, 46-year-old Chelios, 43-year-old Hasek. There's always some old guys, right? The 0102 team has 37-year-old Hull, 41-year-old Dariano, 40-year-old Chelios.
Yep,
and then even going back to this 97-98 team, you got 36-year-old Larionov. You got 38-year-old Fedosov. You got, you brought in the vets. You know, Chris Osgood, 24 years old, played his lights out that year.
Oh, absolutely.
And his heart to think out about that year.
Your tandem was Osgood and Vernon.
Yeah.
That's insane.
That's pretty decent. Yeah.
Yeah.
It turns out they built a really good team.
Yep, and they
that's
were
why
able
I don't want
to
hear what Holland did the last couple of years. Blah blah blah. You got a generation.
We did.
You have never seen the Red Wings suck until two years ago.
I grew up watching the Red Wings, not knowing that they could miss the playoffs.
Dominate.
Yep. I would watch them, and I would just go, "Hey, they won again! Awesome." I would move on with my day, not knowing that they actually had a chance to lose a bunch of games.
You might have seen the last true dynasty in hockey.
Yeah. Yes.
A lot of people talk about the Blackhawks, 3 cups in 6 years or whatever it was. And they're really, really close to me calling them a true, like, Oilers-esque dynasty.
Right,
but they're not quite there. Like the fact that the Red Wings won 4-11 and almost won 5-12 is the most absurd thing of all time. This organization is the example of a classy organization.
Yeah.
In terms of always putting forth a premium product on the ice. I don't know if you've ever been disappointed to be a Red Wings fan.
No, and it's very interesting. You do see people talk online too about we need to get Detroit back to being good again. But this is the price you pay for being good for 25 years.
We talked about those veteran additions, those older guys. Those older guys usually come in the form of trade deadline acquisitions or free agency pickups. And what those things mean is you got to trade younger players and you got to trade picks.
Yeah.
And you have to keep the cabinet empty to keep the current product as best as it can be.
Right. And
the Detroit Red Wings were in win now mode for 25 years. It's a miracle that they came out of it with Justin Abdelkader and Dylan Larkin.
Yeah.
Right? Because this, how much further would the rebuild be if you didn't have Dylan Larkin?
Yeah, honestly, and I see a lot of people giving crap to Dylan Larkin too. He's young. Look, he's young. He isn't the captain of this team either. I want to point out, he's playing like a captain. He's not the captain of the team. He was not named anything. And he's playing his heart out. If you go and watch him play, he's trying, he's aggravated, he's annoyed that the team isn't doing well. You need that from young players.
Definitely.
You can't just, if you put somebody on the ice and they don't care about what's happening, well, one, you're they're not trouble. Captain material.
Right.
Yeah, but that's not going to help anyone on your team.
No,
if one person
not.
Doesn't care, everyone else is going to notice, and not everyone else is going to play the same way.
My thing about Larkin is I like him. I think the expectation for him coming out of the draft was that he was going to be elite. Like once right. he kind of turned into what he is, I think the expectations were that he was going to hit the roof and be an absolute insane stud. I don't necessarily think that's what he is. I don't think he's Jack Eichel level. And I think the potential was that he was going to get there. And I think he's fallen a little short of that for whatever reason.
Right.
He hasn't had the best line mates.
No, but.
But I think that's a big part of it is it's not that he's bad. It's that he's not quite where he was projected to have ended up 3 or 4 years ago.
Which is absolutely fair, but we'll see what happens in the next few years as well. He's for still sure. young. I'm not going to say that he's not like 20. He's not 27. He's still young.
No, he's 23, 22?
Yeah.
Somewhere in that range?
Say Philip Zadina finds his game and Larkin and Zadina are playing.
I think he will, by the way.
Oh, 100%. Watching him. I've seen him in a few games this year. His shot is literally elite. But you put them on a line together, Larkin can make those plays happen, and Zadina's going to be there to rifle him home.
Yeah, that's why I'm not giving up on Dylan Larkin as a good, really, really good NHL player. Like, he
Jack
is
Eichel,
an all-star.
Austin Matthews level? No.
No.
But he's going to be an elite talent, I think.
Exactly. I see him as a 25 to 30 goals, 40 to 50 assists, somewhere in the 70 to 90 range every year.
A lot of people also underestimate his two-way game.
Totally.
One of the top face-off takers in the league, which a lot of people do not talk about. He plays the PK. He's fast as hell, by the way.
I mean, he kind of has to play the PK. Again, look at your roster. Who else is there?
They put Justin Abdelkader out there sometimes, but I think that's because we're allowing goals on purpose.
Right. Is that because you're trying to tank?
Yeah, let's put Abdelkader out there with a 4-year-old minor hockey player. Oh, who's never actually skated before. Okay, perfect.
That's about right. Yeah.
and then let's attack Jimmy Howard about not winning a game in 2 months, though.
Well, when the team hasn't won it, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
But either way, the current Red Wings aside, we're not here to talk about the misery of the current day Red Wings, but we are rather here to celebrate the history, right?
And a
huge part of that history, you know, we talked about this dynasty, is 25 years of playoffs. And again, this is one of the receipts, right? You get all those players for years and years and years. You're trading prospects for picks or prospects and picks for players and prospects and picks for players. And then all of a sudden, all your players run out and you're like, oh, we don't have any prospects or picks.
Right. That's where we're at.
All of a sudden, Pavel Datsyuk's an Arizona Coyote and here we go.
Oh, that was awful too.
Yeah. You heard he's not retiring and has re-upped for another year in Russia? Good for him.
Yes. Absolutely.
Good for him. The Russian gas must be good. Between the three teams we have mentioned, if it came down to the three of them, which would you vote for here?
O2 team. I think. Okay.
Now, is that your favorite team, or do you think that's objectively the best of the three? Because they might be different answers.
I do believe that they're the best of the three when you look at numbers.
Totally.
Just looking at names alone, maybe.
Yeah.
I would say they're the best team. They are my favorite team of all time. That's when I really started getting into hockey. I watched hockey as a kid growing up, sure, but like I was invested in that.
You fall in love with a team, for sure.
Absolutely. Steve Yzerman, my favorite player of all time. It is what it is. Now,
so wait a minute. You say he's your favorite player of all time, but I'm looking at these jerseys behind you, and he's not there.
I do have an Yzerman jersey, but it's not here. It's at my parents' house.
Although, I believe that's a Keith Primo jersey.
It is.
And I respect signed. That.
It is signed. Actually, shout out to a fan of mine, Brian, who sent that to me.
Oh, Brian, though? Oof.
Yes.
Flyers legend Keith Primo. But okay, so that 0102 team for you is the best hockey, the best NHL team of all time.
I would say we talk about all time. There are some other teams that we have to throw into the conversation.
Okay.
Now, as a biased Wings fan,
now you're allowed to say they're your favorite team of all time, full stop, sure. And that's fine, right?
But when it comes,
we all kind of know that that's the answer here.
There are some other teams that you have to have in the conversation, and it's going to be very hard to choose one. Best team of all time.
It's hard to vote against the 76-77 Canadians.
We can talk about them. We can talk about the mid-80s Oilers there.
Yeah, the mid-80s Oilers.
87-88.
The early 80s Islanders.
Yeah,
but they're probably not on that upper echelon with the Canadians and the Oilers.
Maybe not. But
just because you don't have Gretzky, you're not there with the...
right.
You didn't win quite as many cups as the 70s Canadians. You don't have Jean Beliveau.
Right. I don't know. Like, I look at the bracket. There's one team in here I don't ever want to see again, and that's the 08-09 Penguins, but I understand why they're there.
I
get it. I just don't want them there.
I didn't want to put them there either. But it's one of those things you kind of have to acknowledge.
Yes.
If you're going to put the 07-08 Wings there,
you have
by the exact same logic, you kind of have to put the 08-09 Penguins
there. Yes, you do. 100%.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would – I mean – obviously, biased Wings fan, 0-2 Wings, best all time. But in reality, you got to throw the Canadians in there, the Oilers in there. You could even throw the 2001 Avalanche in there. Joe totally. Sakic and Ray Bourque, that whole story of Ray Bourque.
So did you grow up hating the Avalanche, or was it just fun because the rivalry was fun?
So I was a little young at that, okay. Like to fully
you didn't see
appreciate
the violence
it.
Of it. Okay.
Yeah, to the fully ugliness. Appreciate it, I was a little young. But I do remember growing up hating Claude Lemieux, which... I hated him. I wasn't even totally sure why, but I hated Claude Lemieux. So
because somebody told you you were supposed to, I'm sure.
Yeah, and here's the thing. No one in my family are Wings fans either. My grandfather on one side was a Leafs fan, and my grandfather on the other side was a Canadiens fan. So how I grew up becoming a Wings fan, to me, is even mind-boggling.
I think it's probably proximity. You live not too far from Detroit, correct?
Very fair. I live in between Detroit and Toronto, right? So I'm getting both games on TV.
It's a good place to be, man. And the way Toronto's going. What do you think about Toronto? Are there any Toronto teams we missed here, by the way? We got the 62-63.
Yeah, I see the 62-63. I mean...
It's kind of hard to put any of the recent teams there, as skilled as they are.
You can't put
a team there that hasn't won in the first round.
Right. No, that's... Unfortunately, it's true. Somebody
replied to the bracket and mentioned that the 18-19 Lightning got robbed, and... I get it,
but the best
regular season team in history up there with these Red Wings teams that have made the list.
Yeah, but
when you lose in four, you're out.
That's something that there's going to be discussion about.
You're not the best team of all time if you lose four straight games to the second wild card team. I don't care if they loaded
best
up the trade
regular
deadline.
Season team. Yep. Put them up there. Absolutely.
Sure.
They have the best record. Amazing looking team. But if they can't get it done, then they're not the best team. It's easy as that. It's simple.
Yep.
If you cannot perform in the playoffs, you're
not
the best
team. The best team in the league doesn't lose four in a row to Columbus.
No, absolutely not.
The best team in NHL history doesn't lose four in a row to Columbus. Do you think the 76-77 Canadiens lose four in a row to Columbus?
I think the Canadiens win 4-0 against Columbus with half the team on the ice.
I don't know if Columbus gets a shot in that series.
That's, yeah, honestly.
Like, legitimately. But, like, even if we go a little further down the bracket, okay, the 86-87 Flyers aren't going anywhere because we're a Flyers podcast. Sorry.
Okay, fair enough.
next team down, the 10-11 Canucks.
Right, okay.
10-11 Canucks, two Sedins. That's good hockey team. They don't lose four in a row to last year's Columbus Blue Jackets.
No. Can we talk... One team I just want to bring up, we're jumping the list a little bit here, but the 98 and 99 Sabres.
Right.
I don't see them losing to Columbus.
No.
No. Definitely that's not going to be a thing.
No.
95, 96 not. Avalanche, not going to happen. No.
Yeah, so to the person who replied, I appreciate it. It's a great suggestion. We did talk about it. They were in the conversation for a while. when we had the list narrowed down to about 36 teams, they were there. But you can't make the final cut if you don't win a playoff game.
No.
If you lose in the second round, you might have a conversation. Maybe.
Yeah, I mean.
But losing in the first round is bad enough. Getting swept is unacceptable. It's,
and as the number one seed, getting swept too.
It's a non-starter. You know, yeah. you're getting Cinderella 16-1 NCAA tournament beat there. You know what I mean? That's what that was.
Yeah.
And if you remember, circumstance-wise, wasn't Tampa up like 3-0 in game one of that series?
They were winning. They were definitely winning.
They were up by a couple, and Bob made like one save, and the whole series snap flipped. But either way, the bracket's looking like it's shaping up to be pretty good, I think.
Absolutely.
And we talked earlier about it starting tomorrow at the time of recording, Thursday at noon, probably about when this show drops. So it'll be live as you're hearing this. You can make sure to go check it out on Twitter at YWT Podcast. Make sure to follow us over there. All our matchups will be posted over there all day, every day for the next couple of weeks. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter, you know, Facebook, Instagram, Podbean, iTunes, Spotify, SportsTalkPhilly.com. You know, got to get the sponsors in. Facebook's not a sponsor, but you know. Either way, I think that's just about going to do it for us today.
Yeah, I mean,
we had some really good conversation about some really, really good Wings teams, and I don't know about you, but it's making me jones for hockey back, and I'm hoping we get there soon.
Honestly, I'm sitting around like. I play a video game. It ain't the same thing, man. It ain't
semi-professionally.
Yeah, but I need hockey. I need to watch a game. Like I'm going on YouTube as it is, watching highlights and that. And it's been gone for 2 months.
Yeah,
I can't take it. Let's go. I need it. Let's go.
And it's worse than the off season's about 2 months. But you have news. You have trades. You have the draft. You have free agency. We're just in a state of limbo. And we don't know about the draft. We don't know what's going on. But I hope that. If a plan can be constructed to bring everybody back safely and get this thing awarded, you know, the Stanley
right. Cup,
I would love to say it. I assume you and most other hockey fans feel about the same.
Oh, 100%. And honestly, I'm not upset. Obviously, the Wings weren't going to make the playoffs anyways, but I'm not going to be upset when they announce that the Wings aren't going to be in this whatever.
And you know what? That's kind of great for you because you get to sit back and go, let's watch. Let's see what happens.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't have to worry about anything. I get to watch hockey and not be upset when a team loses.
Yep. If playoffs happen,
yep.
It's going to be the best playoffs in a long time.
Oh, 100%.
Because the players are going to be – like they always go 130% in the playoffs. They're going to be going 190%.
Oh, 100%.
It is all out because these players want to play hockey, man. And we will definitely – you know, hopefully we'll see that. And we will definitely continue keeping you guys in the loop about obviously what's going on. But before we get out of here, Thrash, do you want to tell the people one more time where they can find you?
Just TikTok, Thrash Tanya for Gaming. That's it. That's all I'm going to say. That's all you need to do.
That's all you're plugging, huh?
Yeah, that's all I'm plugging.
TikTok star Thrash 94 Gaming, thank you very much for joining us on today's show.
Oh, thank you so much for having me, man. It's a lot of fun.
You have a supremely open invitation to come on whenever you want. This is going to be whenever you want, open invite.
Sounds good to me, man. Anytime you need something, you ever want to talk hockey, here's the thing. I know I'm a Wings fan. I know all my Wings stuff, but I know some hockey. If you ever want to talk about anything, feel free. All you have to do is ask, and I'll be here.
People can find you only on TikTok, nowhere.
Only on, I don't even, social media, what is that?
But, all right, man. Like I said, thank you for coming on, and you do have an open invite. It's all right. It's fine. You have an open invite to come on again whenever you want. And until then, we'll see you guys next week.